Okay, tonight is Monday, January 4th, 2010, or Yutet Kislev. This is the Gemara Shir, we're up to Masecha Sukkah, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Bet.
Okay, Rabotai.
What? Teve.
It's Yutet Teve.
Okay, we started the Mishnah last week on the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. We'll take a look at several things a little more closely tonight, and then try to cover the Gemara till the middle of Lamed Hay. Says the Mishnah, Esrog HaGazel V'Hayavesh. An Esrog that is stolen or dried out is puzzle. I'd like you to take the top sheet that I gave you, which is Hilchos Lulav of the Ravid. Hilchos Lulav of the Ravid, and I bracketed for you a very interesting statement of the Ravid that he makes to define how we determine that an Esrog happens to be dried out. The Ravid has different standards for each of the Minim. It's not like like everybody else, it's dried out. Okay, so sorry about me. The Ravid, so let's read what he writes in that bracketed statement. V'hineho etrog mehechreya hada'as v'haseichel. Based on a compelling logical insight, just pure logic, dome lebasar, an etrog should be compared to meat. Nice. Shikol's man shuhulach, as long as it is moist, motzi lachus. You can extract moisture. O bischitaso, either through squeezing it, o midochek chatichat hakasakin, or by pressure exerted by a knife. When you take a piece of meat, and this is a piece of meat that has not been salted yet, so when you squeeze it, some blood's going to come out. Or if you take a knife and cut it, the mere pressure of the knife cutting the meat will allow some blood to trickle out. Ukishikola halecha shebo, when the moisture, when the liquid has been completed, she'eno motzi shum lecha shebo, there is no longer any moisture in it. Harehu kibasar shinogvinoso, it is like a piece of meat which you pierce. The eno motzi tipas dam, and it no longer has the capacity to extract even a drop of what? Of blood. So when you're dealing with a piece of meat, it's very easy. What do? You can check whether or not something is lock or not by squeezing the daylights out of it, or more effectively, you cut it open a little, and when it stops bleeding, then you know that piece of meat is completely dried out. That test is not available by an esrog, because once you cut it open, it's already chaser, it's puzzle. So what are you going to accomplish by checking to see whether or not this esrog is dry or not? Ela shehabdika lo shelo kasha. To test it would be very difficult. Lefi she'ef shar l'sochto, you can't obviously squeeze the esrog because you'll make it look ridiculous. Velo lichatcho, and you can't cut it open. Avo mekivan she'amru nekev she'ein bo chisaron kasher. Since the Mishnah will say that if it is just a slight hole, as the Mishnah will later say, nikav v'lo chaser kol shehu, you just make a minute hole, but nothing is missing. Such as when you stick a pin in, If you stick a pin in something, you generate a hole. But you don't necessarily remove any of the product from it. When you, if somebody is sewing and they stick a needle into the thread and they pull the needle out, you know, there's no thread on the needle. So here too, if you'll stick a pin into the esrog and you'll pull it out, nothing's going to be missing. So that type of a test would be good, because the Mishnah says, if you make a little oal, but it's not a hole that takes a part of the fruit out of the esrog, it's still kosher. The afilu mifulash. The Ravid is of the opinion that even if the hole is mifulash, what does the word mifulash mean? What? Correctles all the way through. It's like one of the requirements for Rosh Hashanah. In order for something, for a street, to be defined as a Rosh Hashanah Midda Oraisa, there are three criteria which every Rishon agrees with. One is, it has to be 16 amot wide, approximately 24 feet wide. Two, the public has to have access to it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Three, it has to be mifulash. It goes from one end of the town to the next end of the town. So, for example, Cedar Lane, according to the Rambam, is a Rishus Harabim De'oraisa, because it's more than 16 amot wide. The public has access to it all the time. And it goes from the east side of Teaneck to the west side of Teaneck in a straight line. The Fulash goes in a straight line. Consequence of something being a Rishus Harabim De'oraisa, you can't put up an Eruv. You have to put walls around it in order to carry if it was a Rosh Hashanah D'oraisa. Fortunately, we don't accept the Rambam, when you pass it in like Rashi, that there is a fourth criteria that have to have 600,000 people trespassing on it daily to make it a Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, there are virtually very few Rosh Hashanah Rabbin throughout the world. But Mifulash means goes from one end to the other end. Here, the Ravid allows a Nekev, a hole that goes from one end of the esrog all the way to the other end of the esrog. Afilu leha'avir bo machat. Excuse me, not afshar, it is possible, leha'avir bo machat ubochut. What you do now is you take a thread and attach it to the end of the needle, and you stick the needle through the esrog, and it comes out on the other side. If there is any moisture, any liquid, any moisture left in the esrog, it'll appear where? On the thread, on the street, on the string. V'chein mishenikev, im yischot oso, so too, and if you make a little hole and you squeeze it, kol zman shehei bolachos miyad yotzei derech hanekev. Once you make a little hole and you squeeze something, a fruit that has any juice inside, it'll start trickling out. Hine hechranu, we have now proven, yavshus ha'esrog, how to prove whether or not esrog is dried out. So, if you want to save your esrog from this year for next year, on Erev Sukkot, you now have a very simple litmus test to tell whether or not the esrog is kosher or not. You take a needle with a little thread, you stick it through the esrog, you pull it all the way through, and now you examine the thread. If it's at all moist, then that esrog is still kosher, despite the fact that it's a year old, despite the fact that it's shriveled up, despite the fact that it looks terribly brown. Makes no difference. If it's completely dry, then you know that this particular esrog is a yavesh, and it is now kosher. The lamadnu also miyavshus habasar. Where did I learn this little trick from? From the drying out of a piece of meat. Shehu domelo, because this is very comparable. Ki halecha lepri kimo hadam lebasar chai. Because fruit juice to a fruit is the equivalent of what? Blood to a piece of meat. As a result, this now becomes a very effective test. A very effective test. Avol, says the Ravid, Yavshus ha'etim, ein lanu lahakriya mizeh. To determine a lulav hayavesh, I can't use this standard. To determine a...
The Gemara is here. Funny.
To determine a lulav hayavesh, or a hadas hayavesh, or a rava hayavesha, this is obviously not going to play any role. So you have to have a different criteria to determine whether an esrog, whether a lulav is yavesh or not. So there are different shikot. Whether or not it's hard enough so that it breaks. If you'll knock it with a pinky, it'll break. So the Ravid is a different sheet of everyone. I just wanted to show you this Ravid, which is Tosfos Lulav. In this Gemara in the back, in this Gemara, they happen to have, right after the Rush and the Perisha Mishnah, they have the Ravid and the Hasagas HaRavid, Hasagas HaRamban, on the Perish of the Ravid for Tosfos Lulav. It's a very interesting commentary. So here you have this page in front of you, Hilchos Lulav. The Ravid wrote a whole book on Lulav, and he wrote in his introduction, I read the Hakdama to it today, and he says, why did I write this whole Chibur on Hilchos Lulav? Because I've examined all Rishonim, and they leave too many questions unanswered. Therefore, I'm going to take this task of writing a Hilchos Lulav, a compendium. I'm going to address every single issue. And in fact, the Ramban's attack, in this page is smaller, but usually the Ramban's attack against the Ravid are three times the commentary of the Ravid itself. So here he says, very simple criteria. An esrog is a fruit. It's to be treated like meat. Meat has blood in it. Once there's no blood, it's dried out completely. So too if there is no fruit juice. How do you test it? You take a needle, stick it all the way through, attach a little thread to the needle. If the needle is at all wet, you know that it's not yavesh. If the thread is dry, then you know it's yavesh and it cannot be used. That's the Ravid's famous criteria, how to check for a loop for an esrog hayavesh. Yeah.
Is that accepted by Rishonim, or is that
no, not at all. No, absolutely not. No, but the except I should say the Mechaber quotes it. The Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch quotes it, except he deals with, and the Mishnah Berurah has a lengthy discussion about this as well. The overwhelming majority of Rishonim disagree about a nekev mefulash. When the Mishnah allows a little hole in an esrog, it's just not that it goes through and through. A nekev mefulash is automatically possible, according to all Rishonim. So one of the reasons why most Rishonim didn't want to agree with him is because once you stick it through, it's automatically possible. And if you don't stick it through, How are you gonna get it? You have to stick it through in order to get the thread to go through and touch it. You know, if you just put it in partially and pull out the needle, I don't know why you can't just check the needle itself to see if it's wet. What do you need this little string on it for?
Isn't that a very low standard for yavesh? In other words, I just have a little lockless. That seems like a very minimal.
I know. That's correct.
The
others don't give any, percentages. I agree with you. It's a very low percentage. Very low percentage.
Well, I mean, you have to go through it because the center is where the moisture is going to remain the longest. So
okay.
It's even easier for you. I suppose you can go in the regular curve needle.
Okay. See, for Alula, for example, he says, all other Rishonim, quote Rashi, that if it breaks off, if it's hard that it breaks off. So the Ravid said, that's not true, because I have a lulav that I saved for 10 years, and I couldn't break it off with my finger either. He says it all depends on color for a lulav. If it's white, then it's no good. If it's all white, then it's no good. So he's got his own criteria for everything, but I thought you'd be terribly interested in this particular criteria, and everybody should do this test next year for after Sukkot. That's point number one. Good. Point number two in the Mishnah, we read the following statement in the Mishnah. We read the next line, Esrov shel Ashera v'shel Irani Dachas is possible. Okay? Esrov shel Ashera and shel Irani Dachas. Trust me, Rabotai, that there is no parallel discussion in the Gemara about an Esrov shel Ashera as there was by Lulav. If you will go back for a minute to Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, for just a minute, it wasn't that long ago, Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, we do move at a little more rapid pace here than we do on Shabbos afternoon, so this was only a year ago or so, I don't know. Shel Asherah v'Shilat, when was it? He's got, here's our scribe, note man, Howie. Want to know anything about any shir? Just ask Carol.
May 11th, though,
May 11th, okay. So it's only 7, you know, we didn't know shir over the summer, it wasn't so bad. Want to know shir from Shabbos? Howie writes him up after Shabbos. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. My man. So if you look four lines from the bottom, the Gemara quoted a dissenting opinion. The Mishnah said Shel Asheru was possible. Four lines in the bottom of Lalach Amal Beis. Asking Mavhama Rava, Lulav Shel Avayda Zara Lo Yitol, but the Imnat Al Kshera. So how can Rava say something like that? The Mishnah says point blank, a Lulav Shel Asheru is possible. Rava can't challenge the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Hacha ba'ashera demoshe askinan dixuse michtashiure. If you remember correctly, that phrase was subject to a machloikas Rashi in the Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi said, Ashera demoshe is an ashera that existed only in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, where the Torah explicitly says, va'asherehem tisrufun ba'esh. Those you apply the halacha tsusei michta shiu. Excuse me. Kol ha'omeg l'sreifa hisaruf dami. Kol ha'omeg l'sreifa. Gemara's there. Kol ha'omeg l'sreifa hisaruf dami. Anything that is designed to be what? To be burnt is considered as if it's burnt now already. The difficulty the Tosfos had was, why would I record a halacha that has no further application in Jewish history? It was an Asherah only in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam said, Asherah de Moshe is a code name for an Asherah of a Jew. Because Avodah Zarah, worshipped by a Jew, is never subject to Bittul. You can never remove the shame of Avodah Zarah. That's what the Mishnah said. The Brice Rava would say that Lechachilu you should not use a Lulav Shel Asherah. But b'di'evet, it's okay, is talking about an asherah of a god, a tree worshipped l'avodah zarah by a Gentile. We can be mevatel the shame of l'avodah zarah by saying, I will never use this tree again for l'avodah zarah, and making a slight shinui, chipping off part of it, and that's good. Very nice. This parallel discussion never took place in relationship to what? To Esra. So some Rishonim say, you know why it didn't take place with all the other things? Because why bother repeating the same discussion four times? Whatever applies to Lulav applies to Hadas, applies to Arava, which each and every time they had the same halacha. Hadas shalom irani dachas, Hada Arava, ah. So that's what some Rishonim say. However, others say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Here, you don't need the entire discussion. And even an etro, which comes from an asherah of a guy, it's going to be puzzle. Even an asherah, an etro that comes from an asherah tree, worshipped by a guy, will be puzzle. Why will it be puzzle? And again, the Ravid leaves the discussion. Because, he claims, whenever you have a wood, such as the lulav and so on and so on, there is absolutely no incidental benefit that you can accrue other than the fact that what? You're using it for the mitzvah. So the only discussion is, can you use this item in the context of a mitzvah based on the fact that it was what? Once upon a time used l'avodah zarah. But, an etrog has fragrance. Ah, shmeck good. And there is a separate isur to be nehene directly, physical. Not the context of a mitzvah, where mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu, where the mitzvah is not designed to derive benefit. It's here the etrog has an incredible smell. And that smell is a violation of the isur hana'ah if something was used la'avodah zarah. Therefore claims the writer that our Gemara was not lazy, it does not record any such discussion by Esrog based on the fact that the criteria that was established by Lulav has no application to our case. Why? Because Esrog, yesh, lo, ta'am, horeya. Number one, it's edible, which we're not worried about. But we're worried about that you're going to smell it. So, Rabotai, let me ask you the question. Think about one of the other meanings.
You can move for wood. For burning.
Oh, no, but that's not why you're being the kind of mitzvah.
Hadassim
is lahariach bahen. Says the rabbi that I anticipated Moshe's question very simply. And he said, we know that once something is used for a mitzvah, it's huksa l'mitzvasa, set aside for a mitzvah. Once it's set aside for a mitzvah, you are not permitted to what? To derive benefit from it. But the Ravid Shita is, as is many other Rishonim, it's only the primary hana'ah that cannot be derived from it due to the fact that it's set aside for a mitzvah. What is the primary way in which you use a hadas? You smell it. It's used. Ever go to an Eidot HaMizrach Tzul Saturday night? That's all they do. They pass them on Hadat. Bayim Reb Shomer. Shmek Shmek. That's what they do. So when the Hadas is hooked to the mitzvasa, what does it mean? Hadas also lahariyata. So we're not afraid that what? That somebody is going to attempt to what? To smell it. What is the primary use of a fruit, of an etrog? To eat it, la'achila. Therefore, the ha'ri'ach, you're allowed to smell an etrog. A lot of people smell their etrog, you ever see? It smells good, and you're allowed to do so. It's not a violation of huktzol mitzvah. Since it's not a violation of huktzol mitzvah, says the Ravid, I automatically disqualify what? An etrog of what? Of Avodah Zarah, because I'm afraid that what is the person going to do? He's going to be nehene. And it's going to be nehene. And violate the isur of being nehene from Avodah Zarah. Kacha nefaresh harayvit.
Isn't that putting a cart before the horse? Because the isur of Avodah Zarah is written by Raisa, and the idea of what's on the process is just sort of their opponent concept. So shouldn't the concern be that you'd be over the Isidar Raisa regardless of the...
Could be, but apparently, I hear what you're saying. But you would see, asking, why aren't we more concerned on a Darabana level to protect you? It's a good question.
Are we talking about that this Esther tree is permanently... Or
it was used for Avodah Zarah.
The tree.
And not all of its produce.
And for all its produce just for
every
year or for every year after that?
No, that will depend. What we do to that tree. Right now, we have not done anything yet. We've taken off the fruit, and now I want to use that etrog.
And while that etrog was on the tree, that tree was...
It was once used for Avodah Zarah. Correct. That's correct. The Ritva says,
If that would be, the Ritva says, you can really get around this if you know a little lungs. And a person could actually avoid it if he knew a sugya in Masechet Pesachim, Tavchof Eyomid Aleph. A fantastic sugya. It's called Hana'a Haba'a Le'adam Be'al Karcho. What? Correct. The Gemara has it at the church. What? Correct. Right?
When we did the Kol Shah. Right? Hana'a Be'al Karcho.
You have a church that is in the midst of its service, has Ketoret burning. And you walk by, and you can't help but smelling that pleasant smell. So the Gemara says as follows. If it's lo efshar, the lo kamachavin, if it's impossible to avoid it, the only way for you to get home is to walk by that street. That's the only way home. And you don't have kavana, you don't intend to derive benefit. Kula lo implying this. Everybody says that one is okay. You can, no one says you have to move, change your residence because there's a church here. No one. If it's efsher the kol mechavim kula lo implying it. If you have a way to what to go around it and what and you have you enjoy you deliberately took a nice shmeck to enjoy it, of course everybody holds themselves. The only machloikis, there is a machloikis there where it's loy efshar, but become a chavi. There is no other way to go. But what happened? I liked it and I enjoyed it. So one opinion is hano habo habo other malkorcha is what? Asur? Just can't do it? And the other one is, what can you do? It's still, I have no choice. What can I do? I have to walk home. I can't have overpass. Says the Ritva, we paskin, as long as you don't have kavana to be nehene. Don't have kavana to be nehene. So what did the Ritva tell the Raivit? For this you're going to disqualify an Esrog of an Asherah tree? Because when you're holding it, what's going to happen? Automatically the smell will overcome you? What does he tell? No the sugya, no the halacha. Just don't have kavana to be nehene from that wonderful, pleasant smell of the Esrog that is protruding. Consequently, the Ritva says, I don't believe that that's the reason why a lulav, well, an etzra shalashera is puzzle, and I will take the standard routine. Why isn't there any discussion in the Gemara? Because it's a repeat performance of the previous one that we found by lulav, and the Gemara did not particularly want to discuss it a fourth time, or even a second or third time. Kacha hi hamachloikis between the Ritva and the Raivid. Good. The Rabbeinu Hananel, if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Hananel, take a peek for a second, on Daf Lamed Hey Omud Aleph, the Rabbeinu Hananel, on the top far left hand of the page, far left hand of the page, 7-8 lines into it, there is a little dot next to the word shel asherah v'shirah nidachas posel. And what does the Rabbeinu Hananel say? Mishum dehevelei mitzvah habar b'aveira. So I am not going to repeat 3 weeks of shiurim on mitzvah habar b'aveira. But I can tell you that the Ritva, that the Rabbeinu Hananel obviously disagrees with a fundamental principle that Tosfos established. Does anybody remember what Tosfos answered in explaining why does the Gemara have to have a separate psul for a lulav shel asherah based on the fact that it's ksusei mifta shiurei, because you're going to burn it, it's oimid l'sreifa, and anything that's what? That is oimid l'sreifa, it's ksusei mifta shiurei, it's shiur is missing, Just say it's mitzvah b'avera. Who needs ksuse mitzvah shiurei? That it's, since a lulav requires a shear of four tefachim, it has to be, and this has to be burnt, the shear doesn't exist. Why don't you simply say mitzvah b'avera? What fundamental principle did Tosfos establish about mitzvah b'avera which challenges the Rabbi Hanan? Yeah. That was the second interpretation that you need simultaneity, that the Avera Lita always is first category. That's the second principle. First one is that the Avera has to facilitate the Kiyama Mitzvah. If not for the Avera done, you would not have had the Mitzvah. So when you steal something, you see the direct link between theft and your mitzvah. If you didn't steal, you wouldn't have had a lulav. That's why you can say that a lulav is possible because of mitzvah habo b'aveira. But if somebody worshipped a tree, l'avoy d'zara, and I've taken, how does his worshipping l'avoy d'zara facilitate my mitzvah of taking a lulav? It doesn't. Therefore, Tosfos ruled unequivocally that mitzvah haba b'aveira has no application whatsoever to a lulav shel asherah. Tosfos will say that. Not at all. And therefore, Tosfos will maintain consistency and claim that by an etrog shel asherah, that can't be the reason either because of mitzvah haba b'aveira, based on what we said. Because if somebody worships a tree and I take the esrog, my mitzvah has not been facilitated by virtue of the fact that he worshipped the Avera.
Get it at a cheaper price.
What?
Get it at a cheaper price.
That's okay. That's true. So the Rabbeinu Hanan, I'll tell you what's driving Rabbeinu Hanan. Ultimately, according to the Gemara, what is the reason why you can't use a lulav shel asherah of a guy, of a Jew rather? Let's say a lulav shel asherah, meaning asherah is a Moshe. Why is it? Because of susei michta shi'urei. The lulav needed a minimum shi'ur. The Rabbeinu Hanan was of the opinion that an etrog does not require a shi'ur. Even though we said something a little different, and we're going to reread the Gemara in a second. The Mishnah, which we'll read in a second, tells us, and we learned it on Laman Aleph on the days, that an etrog has to be at least as big as an egos or a beitza. But the Gemara said that's only to indicate Gemara Peri, that it's ripened. That's the only reason why it has to be as big as an egos, a nut, or an egg. Not because intrinsically it requires a share. Not because intrinsically it requires a share. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Hanan knew that and knows that etrog, you can't disqualify an etrog shel asherah based on the standard explanation which we gave for lulav. That its shi'ur does not exist because the halacha is it has to be destroyed. There is no shi'ur required. And if there is no shi'ur required, the halacha ksusei michtas shi'urei does not apply. Yes. That's a halacha, as we said, we'll see. It's a shi'ur in the lekicha, not in the chetza. That's what the Gemara is saying about palpul. We're going to read it in 5 seconds. That's how the Rabbeinu Hanan will answer. The shi'ur, which the Gemara says that you need mimka lekichasa, is a halacha should be with a katan, but not in the chetza. Not in the chetza. That's the Rabbeinu Hananel. So you should know that. Anybody tells you no? It's right there, Rabbeinu Hananel, right here on Daf Lamed Hey. Right there. But the difficulty is that the Rabbeinu Hananel is again, okay, that's what Rabbeinu Hananel is entitled to his own opinion. That all the, he then fails to address the issue, why did I need the whole discussion by lulav? Just say that the lulav shall share is possible, then it's a babaveira. That's all. Just say it's possible, it's a babaveira. What do you need all the discussions for? Let's continue the Mishnah.
Well, maybe there you might say, you can't steal something that doesn't exist.
You can't
do an Avera.
No, but you're doing a mitzvah with it. You're taking it on Sukkot. So how can you say it doesn't exist? It does exist.
That's the whole concept of missing back in the shear.
No, but there's a difference between existing and requiring a shear. For example, I'll give you another place where Rav Chaim says something doesn't require a shear and allow you to use it with Isurei Hana, even though it's from Avodah Zarah. A lechi, which you put up to create, you know, the imaginary doorway, a lefty doesn't require a shear. Doesn't have to be any width, any height, nothing. Lefty doesn't have to have any shear. So Rav Chaim said, a lefty can be made out of something which was used by the Zara, because Ksusei Mikta Shi'urei will not apply to it. It can be as minimum as you'd like. Minimum as you like.
Does it have a height though?
That's the question. What's the halakha of the height? Correct. It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't remember the answer to that. But it's a good question. It does. It has to be 10 tefachim. It's a good question. I don't remember the answer. So I withdraw it because I can't answer it yet.
Long
Eviter. Said the Mishnah. Shel Orlo was pasul. We will have major discussion in the Gemara about it. Shall truma tamei pasul? Shall truma taholu lo yitol v'im nasal kasher? Shall demai? That's the fruit from which you purchase from an amaretz, which may not have been me'usar beit shami pasul mitzilah machshirin. Now I want to read shall masa sheni, because Rashi chooses to comment, and the Ran disagrees. And we'll see the Ran inside. I photostated it for you. So Mishnah says shall masa sheni be Yerushalayim. Lo yitol v'im nachal kasher. If I take an etzrog shel ma'as hashem, I have my little pardes in Petach Tikva, and I harvested my etzrogim. I put aside 10% of them to bring to Yerushalayim. I am bringing them to Yerushalayim. You're allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim. No problem. So now the Mishnah says, l'chatchila, I should not use this etzrog for the mitzvah. Be the answer, if you did so, it's okay. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi, B'dibur HaMaschil, in the Mishnah, B'Yerushalayim. Why does the Mishnah emphasize B'Yerushalayim? Shehi K'sheira L'Achilas Ma'as Hashem. Because an Esrog is what? Is an esrog of Ma'as Hasheni is permitted to be eaten in Yerushalayim. That's the mitzvah, to eat it in Yerushalayim. So therefore, it has one of the requirements of an esrog to be yotzei the mitzvah. It has to be mutter ba'achila. Lo yitol, you should not use it lechatchila. Kedem afarish b'gemara. Rashi says, hababilz gedolt. Explain, the Gemara will explain it. So if Rashi says, we'll wait, we'll have geduld, have a little patience. V'im natal, says Rashi, kosher. But if I didn't listen to the Mishnah, and I took an etzrog shel ma'as hasheni, I've yotzei the mitzvah. Shaharei yesh bo heter achila. Because it has the possibility to be eaten in any place of Yerushalayim HaKodesh. But if you're out of Yerushalayim, you're in Mevaseret or Tel Aviv or Haifa or Bnei Brak, Lord, you cannot be Mekai in the mitzvah of Esrog with an Esrog of Ma'as Hasheni. Dilochem Ksiv, it says Ulekachtem Lochem, Hara'ui Lochem, it has to be suitable for you. And suitable means to enjoy in its primary way, a way it's typically manifested. A fruit is typically eaten. So you have to have the capacity to eat it. Kacha lo made Rashi, and Rashi is the simple pshat. Please take a look at the Ran, which is the second tab. Go ahead.
What does Rashi mean that you shouldn't take it where?
In Yerushalayim.
You mean Yerushalayim?
Correct. The Gemara will explain why. The Gemara will explain why. Rashi said that lichatchila in Yerushalayim I should not take it. The Gemara will explain why.
But the evidence is good, but outside Yerushalayim, you can't do it.
Correct.
If you can't eat it, it's an outlast.
Precisely. precisely what? Not in Yerushalayim. Okay, but that still can't be eaten. Then it's not a thin, it's not much shiny any longer. Then it's a regular actual. There's nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about. So now let's read the Ran. I bracketed the Ran for Rabbeinu Nissim. So he will not be so lazy and tell you why you should not use it lechatila. The Gemara says he takes it straight to the Gemara. Shemasa sheni b'Yerushalayim lo yitol. One, b'nei shemachshiro lekabel tuma, u'mafsido gantein b'mishmish yodayim. What's going to happen is like this. Typically, everybody knows, nobody does. Nobody knows how to keep your lulav, hadas, and arava fresh. Everybody's got their own little game, right? One guy wraps it up in newspapers, that guy puts it in a towel, puts it in the freezer. Everybody's got his little game. The Mishnah actually says, just water it. The Mishnah about Membeis, we'll learn it a little, Membeis on the house, says you should water it. You can put it, or put it into a vase. Exactly. You're allowed to put it into a vase on Yantar. On Chol HaMoed, the Mishnah says change the water every single day. That's the Mishnah, so we'll learn it on Daf Mem Beis. Now, once you put the Hadassim and the Aravos in water, what might happen? The water is going to drip onto the Esrog. If the water drips onto the Esrog, it is now Makshu'it L'Kabel Toma. The halacha is that any fruits that grow cannot become Tamei unless they are first exposed to water or six other liquids. It's a pasuk in the Chumash, Ki Yitain Mayim Al Zera, in Vayikra chapter 11. And the word Yitain is written Chaser, as if it's Ki Yutan Mayim Al Zera. That's what it actually says. Ki Yutan Mayim Al Zera. And we dash in Ki Yutan Ki Yitain, because it's written without a vowel. Fine. So you have to have water, liquid touching it before it can become Tamei. So if I have a fruit which I plucked from a tree, and now and the apple, the fruit falls on a dead animal, if it has not been exposed to liquid, it remains tar. But the minute it remains, it is exposed to liquid, it is now subject to becoming tame. Now Master Shani, if it becomes tame, has to be burnt. Now I eat Master Shani Shenitma. So by taking lichatilo, what are we afraid of? That if you take the lulav and the etrog and you just watered the what? You watered the water's going to come onto the etrog and that'll be mukshel l'kabel toma. And that increases the chances of Masa Sheni becoming tamei, because if a dead animal touches it, or you walk into a place with a mace, whatever happens to it, and that's no good. Therefore, lichatchila, don't take it, so you will keep the etrog, Masu Sheni etrog, away from water. Okay, that's the discussion. That's why there's an alternate answer. Correct. When we get to the Gemara, we'll do it. Then he says there was a second reason. Oh, umafsido, damkein benishmush yodayim. What you do is, when you hold an etrog, you fetch it a little, right? You know, you pass it on, so you ruin the tsurah, the beauty of the natural beauty of a fruit, which is Masa Sheni, and you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to ruin an etrog, a fruit of Masa Sheni, because you make it less appealing and attractive to be eaten. Right? Everybody knows if you want to serve a peach, and it's all crushed up because 20 people handled it, you're not eating that peach. And then Masa Sheni gets thrown in the garbage. So in order to make sure that this etrog is handled to it, therefore lichatchila lo yitol. That's not our concern. Now the concern is the next line. V'im natal kasheru. V'kishilohu. Because halachically we consider Masa Sheni yours. The kosava rabbanan ma'asa sheni mamon violin.
The Ran believes that the primary concern about Maaseh Sheni is not that you have to have the capacity to what? To eat it. What capacity, what's the primary in halacha in making it lochem, lochem yours? That you don't legally own it. But, according to the Chachamim, Maaseh Sheni was mamon violent, meaning it's not, doesn't belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, I indeed own it. If I indeed own it, I can be yotzei the mitzvah with it. Listen to what he says. Vehu hadin nami chutz Yerushalayim. De'im natal kasherhu. Even if you take the Maaseh Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, you will be yotzei b'di'evet. B'di'evet. First of all, you own it just as much as you do when it's in Yerushalayim. Are you not allowed to eat it? Says the Ran. You have the potential to eat it by bringing it where? To Yerushalayim. And the Ran will bring support from this, from where? From where? From one of the other cases in the Mishnah. Why is it that I can be yotzei with an extra of the truma? Okay, but I'm not a kohen. So why can I be yotzei? Because if my daughter should marry Yisrael Gottesman's son, my daughter's allowed to eat that etzer. Or if my son would marry, that's what happened. So therefore, I have a vested interest in using this for a member of my family. So in theory, to eat it, to be eaten, is good enough. In theory, if it can be eaten, it's good enough. Says the Ran, well, an etrog of Maaseh Sheni in Tel Aviv, in theory, can be eaten as well. How? Just go to Yerushalayim, get on the 405 bus, and you're in the Tel Yerushalayim, and that's it. You're in Tachan HaMerkaz, in 1 hour later. So what's the problem? So why does the Mishnah only use the expression Maaseh Sheni, where? Yerushalayim, says the Ran. Why? Elul Ravutza Tanilei Da'afilu Yerushalayim Lechatchila Loi. Then Lechatchila, don't even take it in Yerushalayim. Rashi learned that the reason why the Mishnah says Lechatchila Yerushalayim to tell me that only B'di'evet in Yerushalayim is it no good. Only in Yerushalayim B'di'evet it's no good. Only it's good. Only in the Eved in Yerushalayim it's good. Outside of Yerushalayim it's of course not good. The Ran learns no. That the chidush of the Mishnah is the lechatchila, even in Yerushalayim you should not take it. Why? Because of the two concerns which he already elaborated. But in relationship to what? In relationship to this, you can. You can use it. You can use it.
Rashi doesn't say just because it says Yerushalayim in Mishnah. He also darshan,
of the Lord Lachem. Correct. No, but
so isn't it possible that the focus between the Rashi and the Ran revolves around what the scope of what role is?
No, because then he would have the question about Truma.
Oh, because the Truma is available role wherever you are, to you, but your next door neighbor code, it doesn't have to be getting married. Your next door neighbor code.
I always say it's the problem is the location.
Right. So in other words, one possibility could be royal lechem, but Maaseh Sheni has to be transported.
I hear what you say. Perhaps. The question which all Rishonim ask on the Ran is that he contradicts a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kuf Yud Beis writes that Maaseh Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, Aliba the Chuli Alma is Mamon Gavaya. Maaseh Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim is Mamon Gavala. What do I mean to Mamon Gavala? Belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only debate about Maaseh Sheni is in Yerushalayim. Is it that when I come to Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has now said, you know what? I, God, have given you, Mr., the right to eat this particular fruit, in which case it's yours. Another opinion says no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never forfeited his ownership of Matzah Sheni. So why do I have a right to eat it? It's the famous phrase of Kachim Kalim. Meshulchan Gavoa Kazachu. Namely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in Yerushalayim, I let you eat my food. I let you eat my food in Yerushalayim. But it still belongs to me. If that would be the case, you couldn't, if you require financial monetary ownership, you could never be Yotzei with an extra of a Matzah Sheni. But all Rishonim say, the only debate exists in Yerushalayim, but Matzah Sheni, chutz Yerushalayim, lecht man de polik, everybody agrees that it's mamon gavoa, the money that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ran himself said that you need din mamon. You have to have the capacity to demonstrate financial control ownership. You don't own it. So how could the Ran say that l'chatchila, that b'dieved you can be yotzei with an etrog in Tel Aviv? You can't, because it doesn't belong to you, because it belongs only to the Holy One, blessed be He. That's the attack on the Ran.
Maybe you'll say, of all the people on the planet, you're the only one who's closest to her.
He's what?
Maybe something to the effect that, well, you're the only human on the planet, because it's your Matzah Sheni, eventually it will be yours. I mean, again,
no, but it's conceptually, it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. Right now, it doesn't belong to you. Let's finish the Mishnah, and then we have to get to the middle of Daf Lamed Hei Omer Aleph. Says the Mishnah. Also Chazazis, Al Rubo, if it starts getting discolored on the majority of it, not La Pitmaso, if the Pitim has been removed, that's a very famous, very popular problem. It's, Pitim falls off, or breaks off. Miklaf, if the skin is peeled, Nistak, if it's, there's a hole in it. If it's split. Nistak means it's split. Nikave, if there is a little hole, the chaser kolshu, and if part of it has been taken out, part of the pulp is coming out, come out, puzzle. Also, chazazis al miyuto, if it had some kind of discoloration on just a miyut of it. Or natal ukso, the ukot, that little thing on the bottom. Or nikkei velochaser kol shehu, if it's just, there is a hole, but it's nothing is missing from the pulp. Or esrog hakushi, literally a black esrog, is pasul. And those are kashin. All those other things are kashin. Esrog hakushi is pasul. The hayoro pikarsi, if it's green, Rabbi Meir Nachshir, Rabbi Huda Posef. The Gemara will explain all this. Shir esrog hakatan, smallest amount of size of an esrog, Rabbi Yehuda Ke'egos, Rabbi Yehuda Ke'egos, Rabbi Yehuda Ke'egos. Ubegadol, how big can esrog be? Kedei Shiyeh Echos Shnayim. So that you'll be able to hold two esrogim in one hand. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Echad B'Shtei Yadav. You can have a super giant esrog, so you should be able to hold one of them with two hands. But as we'll soon see, the Gemara's response to the previous question was, both of those are shirim in the lekicha, not in the chafzah. Let me again write the Gemara. Tana Rabbana. 3/8 hadar. As you well know, the Torah does not specify what fruit it is. So the Gemara's going to offer four interpretations to identify for us that this fruit is indeed an esrog. 8, shetaam, eitzo, upirio, shaveh. It is a fruit whose wood, bark, and fruit taste identical. Heve omer zer esrog. This is everybody's homework for next year. Make sure you take a bite out of esrog bark and tell me if it tastes like the esrog or not. The esrog or not. Just as an aside, it is one of the most astounding things that the Torah tells us in the name of Rashi and playing the Chumash. The phrase in the Chumash on the third day of creation, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created eight pri oseh pri lemineyu. Eight pri oseh pri lemineyu. The word pri appears twice. Eight pri oseh pri. So Rashi says, what do you mean? It says oseh pri. It means a fruit that makes trees. What does eight pri mean? eats, she eats so upirio ta ashavet. That God created the world, that every single fruit tree in this world, the fruit and the wood will taste identical. If you look in the end of it, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually created, a little later, it only says, Eitz Osefri Laminei. It doesn't say Eitz Pri Osefri. Says Rashi, nature disregarded God's command. I have yet to figure out what that means. Nature disregarded God's command and only left one fruit that tastes like that, or a possible couple. But the Esrog tree tastes like that. I can't understand it. Ask the Gemara for Ema Palpulin. Maybe you're not supposed to take an esrog, you're supposed to take peppers. Kidasanya Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer. Mimash Mashinemar Unatatim Kol Eitz. Eini Yodea Shehu Eitz Ma'achal. The Torah says in relationship to Arla, that when you go into Israel and plant what? All trees. So the Torah says, its fruit is what? The first 3 years, what happens to the fruit? It's Arla, you're not allowed to eat it. So the question is, the Torah didn't have to write Unetatim Kol Eitz Ma'achal. Obviously, it's an Eitz Ma'achal, because we're dealing with the fruit. The fruit has to be edible in order to be called a Ma'achal. So why does it say Eitz Ma'achal? Ma'atal Medloma Eitz Ma'achal. Same drash. Eitz Shetam Eitz Ha'upir Yeshoveh. Hevei Omer Zeh Palpulin. Le'lam Decha Shehapalpulin Chayovin Ba'arla. Because the laws of Arla do not apply to vegetables. And peppers apparently don't grow on big trees, but low, close to the ground. And I might think that they're not a tree. Therefore, the Torah, the Halacha says that it's a tree, and you have to observe the laws of Arla. The Ein Eretz Yisrael Chaseira Klum. Eretz Yisrael is missing absolutely nothing, except for some good manners. Shine Emar, Lo Techsar Kol Ba. It's not missing anything. So, how do I know that Priyetz Hadar means an Esrog? Palpulin say the same thing. Answers the Gemara, Hasa Mishim de Lo Efshar. There, you know why it's palpulin is not acceptable, despite the fact that the pepper branch tastes exactly like the pepper itself? Because it's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah with it. Nimkot Chada, if I only take one little peppercorn, Lo Mimkaril Chichosa. You'll never notice it, because what can you do with a peppercorn? You can close your hand around it, you won't see it. Nimko treo tlasa, if you'd like to take two or three peppers, echad amarachmana v'loishnayim v'shloisha. The Torah writes pre-eight, pre in the singular, one and not two or three. Hilkach lo efshar. Therefore, of all of the fruits of the world, pepper has to be excluded. What's the only one which now fits the criteria, which you can notice when you hold it in your hand? Must be an esrog. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe has another interpretation. Al tikre hadar. Don't read it pre-eitz hadar, ela hadir. Make believe it says pre-eitz hadir. What is a deer? A deer is a cattle. It's a little corral. Nice. What's in a corral? Ma dir ze yeshbo gidoy lemukatanim tmin mubali mumin. Just as in a corral. What do you find in a corral? Big shepsela, little shepsela, whole ones, some that have defects, bali mumin. Hachanami, so too, you need a tree. Yeshbo ktanim, gidoylim, tanim, tmimin, ubalim, mumin. You need a tree that has big fruits, little fruits, whole ones, and blemished fruit. Ask the Gemara, atu shar peros lesbu gidoylim, ktanim, tmimin, ubalim, mumin. You need to tell me other fruit trees don't have big ones and small ones, whole ones, and blemished ones? Of course they do. Elohachi Kama, this is what it means. Ad Shabbatim Kitanim Adayim Gidoilim Kayamim. Until the time that what? When small fruits arrive, the big ones are still hanging on the tree. That phenomenon is only available by Esrog. By all others, by the time the new fruit blossoms, what happens to the old ones? They've all fallen off already. Therefore, pre-eight Hadir. The fruit
that looks like and emulates the way of a corral.
Trust me, it's not the pshat. Rabbi Avohu Omer. Rabbi Avohu says, Al tikri hadar, elo hadar, which resides, hadar to reside. Davar shedar b'ilono mishana l'shana.
It's a very simple, similar thing to the other one. That normally the fruit of a tree in its annual cycle, once the fruit are plucked or fall off, by the time the next year's crop comes, there's none left of the old crop. By Etzlog, it's not like that. Some new ones are growing, and some old ones are still on the tree. Therefore, it's pre-eight hadar. Hadar bi'ilano mishana l'shana. Benatay omer, al tikri hadar ele idur. Don't read it, don't translate it as if it would say pre-eight hadar, ele pre-eight idur.
What does that mean? Shikain b'lashon yivani korin l'mayim idur.
Because in Greek, they call water idur. And what is this got? It's pre-eight idur. Pre-eight with something about water.
What does it mean?
The ezohi shigodel al kol mayim. It can grow on all types of water. Irrigation water, natural rain water, all kinds of water, and esra can grow.
Has the elmer the esra.
So as I told you, the Rambam last week or 2 weeks ago, all this is nice and cute. How do I really know that it's an esrog when the Torah says creates other? Kabbalah, the Moshe Mishinai. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he said, folks, this is what a creates other is. All of the other people are just looking to find some excuse to find it in the Torah text, but it's not really to be found in the Torah text. It's Kabbalah, the Moshe Mishinai. And the Rambam says, if you don't believe this, you forfeit your chelek in Olam Haba, your apikaitz.
Apikaitz.
That means that the Encyclopedia Judaica editor is apikaitz. So the Encyclopedia Judaica editor writes that the Etzro tree was unknown to Jews at the time when they came into the Holy Land, and it was brought from India 1,000 years later, 500 years later. Kacha Tolei Encyclopedia Judaica, and that Kriyat Hadar meant something else when Am Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. So the Machloikas Encyclopedia Judaica and the Rambam.
That's all. So find all the Machloikas as well.